This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM Channel 371.
Mark Packer, Wes Durham, Chester Fuller, Captain Ron, Robert Otto is absolutely making sure that refrigerator is going nowhere fast in the Christmas decoration room. We are all good to go. It is a full show, and there is a ton to talk about, Mr. Durham.
Three ball games last night in the ACC, and we had two tight fits, really tight fits. Duke and Wake Forest, Clemson and Florida State, and we had a runaway Wolfpack freight train last night in Atlanta.
I'm not sure Georgia Tech got the memo of starting time, but the NC State said, thank you very much. We will take it
and
blow you out. We mentioned yesterday, I know we're going to go over all these games,
right,
but we mentioned that somebody could go off in that game just because the offensive fireworks, and that absolutely happened.
Right.
But really, the story last night was at Cameron Indoor Stadium.
Absolutely.
Duke and Wake put on a show, and it was a game, if you were watching, that looked like it was done. I mean, we'll get to the Coach K story, which is certainly worthy and to be noted today. But Duke's up 19 in the second half, Wes, and really felt like they were kind of cruising. I mean, it was just like, hey, all right, crowd was kind of subdued. This one's in the back pocket. Catch you later. John Shire's filling in for Coach K in the second half because he was not feeling well. And Duke's up 19. You're like, okay, what else is on? And then if you switch back, you went, hey, whoa, 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 what's going on here now?
The reason
I say that is because that's exactly what I did.
Yeah.
I mean, Duke's up 19. All right, that's a W. All right, what else is on tonight? So there were so many other great games going on.
Sure.
But then Wake makes this run, and you're like, watch out. Here come the Deeks.
Got to get back over this one.
Here come the Deeks.
Right.
All right. And we talked yesterday about how they've just kind of snapped streaks like nobody's business. They had not won at Cameron since 1997, and here they come, and it turned out to be some kind of game.
In essence, you have to watch games now. Like when you're trying to follow the ACC on a – like we have three nights of basketball. One night – we had a game Monday night. We got three last night. We got three tonight. You got to have a second screen with you a little bit, right? You got to have something else to kind of keep abreast of the scores. And there were studies done a couple of years ago about the number of percentage of people that have second screens open when they're watching something on television. Well, I was guilty last night. I had the scoreboard rolling on a little thing, so I would flip the games, and I looked down. It was like 17, 18 points, something like
19
in its height, right? Yeah. And I looked down, and I'm like, that's a one-possession game. What happened? Click it back over, and all of a sudden, it's crazy. Yeah. And a heck of a run by Wake Forest. Dallas Walton, by the way, hit a three to start the game and played terrific. He was really good last night. Laravia had some hot and cold spots. So did Alondis Williams. Game got a little chippy.
Yep.
Swiss were over there, you know, not backing off. Monsanto played a ton last night for Forbes. I kind of ball game, quite frankly, that shows you Wake's going to stay in the thick of this thing.
It also was a reminder of why Steve Forbes was so disappointed Saturday. It's Miami, right? We talk about this schedule. You can't go worry about 2 weeks down the road. It's what you have in front of you.
Right.
You let that Miami game get away from you. You're getting punked by Duke. Now you make a run. Tie game. Duke gets last possession. Lonis Williams had three fouls in the first half. Really never got started, but man, he showed up in the second half and balled. It was a very entertaining finish. I mean, it really was. And I know Wake fans are like, oh, please don't show the highlight with the tip in with 0.4 seconds. And when that happened, the original angle, I was like, oh, that's basket interference. And then you saw the shot, I think, behind the basket, and it was good.
Yeah.
It was a good basket.
Technology really, really, really gave you an advantage last night that you wouldn't have if you were at the ball game.
That's right.
This is a really good – this is why the review is in. And by the way,
wow.
Yeah. I saw some folks immediately say, well, that wouldn't have counted. Have to slow that one down frame to frame.
No, it wouldn't have.
Okay.
It would not have counted.
All right. I didn't see the slowdowns, but for it to be that close, holy smokes, right?
Butler reincarnated. Kind of felt like it a little bit.
25 feet past Butler.
Yeah, but it was just a crazy finish.
Yeah. Boy, Mark Williams, huh? 16 points, 10 rebounds.
But the camera angle, the camera behind the basket.
Glass. That's the one.
That's the one. Like, when it happened in real time, I'm like, well, that didn't count. He got balls in a cylinder because of the angle of the shot.
Right.
But when you saw it from behind the basket, I thought the referees got it right.
They did. They did, and that's what you're. That's the goal. How they get to it sometimes can be tricky, but that's the goal.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind seeing those two teams a third time.
You might.
Yeah. I mean, it's possible. Wake Forest in a little bit of a spot now with Notre Dame visiting Saturday.
That's why I said on Monday that that loss to Miami and just watching Steve Forbes' reaction in the press conference that we aired, you get a sense that, hey, well, Duke was going to be tough.
Right.
You probably in all likelihood we're not going to win that game, even though people pushed the envelope with the Blue Devils at Cameron this year. But, boy, does it put a lot of pressure on that game coming up this weekend with Notre Dame for both parties.
Right.
It's a huge game. I said this week is the most important week of ACC basketball because of the schedule, because the top five, six teams, there are so many games amongst themselves this week.
Yeah, and it's I mean, Duke has got a rematch with Florida State this weekend. Notre Dame's at Wake Forest. Carolina's at Virginia Tech. Most important week of the year, I heard earlier this week.
Virginia-Miami,
right? It's all kind of stacking up.
It's go time this week, boys.
Story of the game, the sidebar from winning and losing for both schools was Mike Krzyzewski, who apparently did not feel great prior to the ball game, and then at halftime just did not feel well enough at all to return. John Shire, who is going to be Duke's head coach next year, after the ball game, talked about taking over at halftime and working through the second half.
You know, our team is, we've had some pretty, we've had some unique situations this year already with, you know, guys being out, you know, what happened again earlier at Wake Forest. We went back to the halftime and clearly coach wasn't himself. He wasn't right. And so just told the team, it's, you know, he needs to focus on taking care of him, and we need to step up and come out in the second half and do what we need to do. And it really became all about our game plan and what we had to do. And our guys were focused. You know, that doesn't mean there weren't things we can do better, but they were locked in and just focused on getting the win for coach and for our team. It was an important game for us.
Can I say something here real quick about this?
It's your show.
All right. It's your show, too.
But I'm probably going to say something after you do. So this is your show.
This is how I feel. John Shire is going to be the basketball coach at Duke University.
Is that breaking news?
And when John Shire takes over for a second half, it becomes some rhetoric about, whoa, let's see how this goes. Have you noticed that? I mean, he's going to be the coach, guys. It's going to happen. It starts when this season is over, John Shire becomes the back. And, in fact, it's been news this week about John Shire getting the job at Duke. Another subject, another topic altogether. But every time something like this happens, it doesn't have to be some look into the lab at John Shire coaching Duke. The guy's very capable. He did a good job last night. Yeah, they lost the lead, but they stuck to it, got a play made at the end. He looked very comfortable in the huddle last night at the end, drawing up the play that got Banchero to the glass. All that was fine. The thing that bothers me is I keep hearing all this, you know, critique of what John Shire's like as the basketball coach at Duke.
He better get used to it.
Right, but it's going to be fine. There's going to be a transition, just like there's been 8 miles away. There's going to be a transition, but the thing about it is this, he's fine. He'll do a good job. But last night was this open book about John Shire becoming the coach at Duke, and there's no need for that.
It's 2-0 against Wake.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, Steve Forbes hasn't walked at the end of the game and shaked hands with Coach K yet.
That's right, yeah. So, I don't know if that's what you were going to add,
no,
but that's what.
Not at all.
I found it interesting last night. We spent as much time talking about him coaching the second half as the fact that the team got the win. I thought he did a great job, as I said, of the last play. And the reality of it is the guy's going to be the coach. It's not this open book and look in the lab and all that kind of thing. Anyway.
Yeah, but when you're the head coach at Duke and you're the head coach at North Carolina and you're the head coach at Syracuse, I mean, I'm talking about the new guy. Whether you're Hubert Davis, Shire, whoever replaces Boeheim, replaces, you know, Leonard Hamilton, what happens at Louisville, I mean, whoever that person becomes,
sure,
you're always under the microscope.
But Packin, I guess this is what makes this different, is because he was named, but he coached a year ago in games there were, you know, Coach K didn't feel well, didn't make the trip, whatever the case may have been. He's coached games intermittently. Jeff Capel did the same one night at Florida State a handful of years ago when Coach K didn't feel well and didn't make the trip. Capel coached the team. So, I mean, it happened before, but, you know, it just so happened last night. It was in a conference game, but Shire coached the other time they played Wake Forest. And every time he does it, it's not like some look into the, you know, into the lab, if you will, at him making the cocktails or whatever.
Well, I do think folks are going to be intrigued to see what the new Duke looks like. The thing I would point out is that when John Shire coached the first Duke-Wake Forest game, Duke obliterated
Correct.
Wake Forest. Yeah. I mean, that was an incredibly impressive performance by Duke. They were dialed in on the road. Wake's playing well, and they just said, not tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Last night, of course, who knew what was going to happen at halftime? Next thing you know, you realize K's not on the bench. Shire comes out, and they take a halftime lead and bumped it to 19. I thought Duke was playing free. I thought they looked terrific. And really, like I said to you earlier, at 19, I was like, all right, what else is on tonight?
Yeah.
Right? And then all of a sudden, to Wake's credit, because they played so hard this year on the road in particular, they rallied back. And I think that's a great testament to what Steve Forbes has done at Wake Forest. So there's always going to be scrutiny, whether it's a sample size of a half or when John Shire takes over full time. And it's just exactly what Hubert Davis is going through this year at North Carolina. And, you know, how many times have you heard, man, Carolina's 0-7 against Quad 1? You're going to hear that until they win one. I mean, that's part of the gig. When you're the head basketball coach at Duke or North Carolina or eventually at Syracuse, et cetera, Louisville, at places that really matter. So, you know, I think he's built for it and he knows what's coming. Listen, once you played at Duke with those championship teams, you understand what it's about.
Right.
You get it. So, I mean, I think John Shire is not going to be in awe walking around bug-eyed.
No, he's fine.
And I thought he looked completely totally at ease.
Exactly.
Last night, like you said, drawing up that last play with Banchero going to the basket and Duke gets the tap in. So it's just par for the course. You know, and if people want to overanalyze it, wow, that's shocking. People in the media are going to overanalyze something and make a non-story, try to make it a story. That's stunning. Jeez, never seen that happen in the media, like every single day. So I don't think he's worried about it. But the bottom line
is, I don't think he is. I just think it's wasted effort and analysis of a game to talk about like this look in because it's going to happen.
Don't worry about it. It's not even an it's not even a bite of an appetizer. You're going to get the main course when he takes over full time this summer. Simple.
By the way, Steve Forbes after the ball game, with a thought about Damari Monsanto's 85-foot shot.
This is a classic line here.
Here's Steve Forbes.
I thought he made it. In fact, he about did. What did it count it? I don't know. I couldn't tell. Probably not here, but you know how it goes. But
I gotta tell you, he is fast becoming the best quote in the league.
Oh, not even close. Yeah, right. I mean, absolutely.
I know he's new to the scene per se, looking at the big picture. But
right.
He always has something funny to say. And I don't think that shot would have counted based on some of the stuff I saw. But, man, it was just an amazing ending, though. Great ending. If you didn't like that, I can't help you. I mean, you almost had two baskets inside 1 second to determine the game. Two baskets inside 1 second. You almost had that last night.
Whew, that was close. It was really close. Great ball game. All right, let's give you the catch-up on the show. And good one today again. And thanks for all the kind words yesterday about Charlie Scott and Bobby Crimmins, Lefty Giselle. A lot of people enjoyed that, and we're going to try and keep doing that the day after those docs air as well. Fiona Crawley will be here.
Inside. One guy said that we were disrespectful to NC State.
That's absolutely bananas.
You know, I say this all the time. We don't come up with conspiracies. You do.
That's
the one I saw yesterday.
That was ridiculous. I answered that guy.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I did.
I refrained.
Fiona Crawley will be here, a member of North Carolina's women's tennis team who's captured the ITA Indoor National Championships, which we mentioned yesterday.
We've
with
had
Bubba
some
Cunningham.
Tennis action on
we
the
have.
Show.
Louisville shooting star Kiana Smith will be here. She's going to join us at 9:15. In case you missed it with Charles Scott and the coach, Seth Greenberg makes his return to the Packer and Durham program at 8 o'clock this morning.
Hokies get hot, Greenberg shows up. How's that work?
I think it's merely coincidence.
You think so?
I do.
They win six in a row for the first time. Now Greenberg wants to come
Greenberg's
on.
Back in, yeah. Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah, big night in the studio for
By
Coach.
Oh yeah, kind of hungry for a steak. We're getting on the. We're getting near
no,
the.
No, I'm not getting into this.
Yeah, you are. What do you mean you're not getting? You've been getting. You've been in the middle of it. I'm not going to get into that.
He showed up with a steak at the Westin or something a couple of years ago. Marriott.
You don't
or
even know what the bet is anymore.
The bet was a steak dinner.
Who picks?
You do.
That's right.
Yeah, that was the ground rules of the bet. I agree.
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't care if he showed up with a little something for the dogs.
And we're going to New York City for the ACC tournament, or day of it.
For breakfast.
So maybe you and Greenberg on Thursday night in Brooklyn decide to go to...
I'm getting in late, man. I got radio to do.
Oh, late, yeah.
Plus, okay. With K, you know, if he's not feeling good. By the way, Coach K, we didn't even talk about it. I hope he's okay, number one, right? Wes?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, for everybody's, but especially you seem to be
I'm very concerned. Interested. I am concerned.
Yeah.
Number one.
Coach K's Basketball and Beyond, 6 o'clock Thursday nights on SiriusXM, you know, ESPN U Radio.
I have taken care of when he can't make the show.
You're given another hour.
I have to fill.
Yeah.
So I hope he's feeling okay. I hope he's up to
You look forward to that extra hour every week.
I like it. I deserve an hour off. So, okay, speedy recovery. Me to you. Need you good to go. We need the vocals.
Like,
we need the vocal
today?
Cords good. Well, yeah, if the thing's not live, you know. They take
it's not?
No, it okay. is not live. I'm live. He's not. But I hope Kay's going to be okay.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Last night in Tallahassee, Florida State and Clemson went right to the wire, both riding some losing skids, one yep. trying to snap, right?
Yep.
And comes down to a Raekwon Evans and one with 14 seconds left to go in the ball game, and the Noles win 81-80. Evans' career-high 28. P.J. Hall had a career-high 26, I think, for Clemson last night. So those two guns were going at it, and meanwhile – The Noles snapped the skid with the one-point victory. It's a phenomenal ball game in terms of just now. It wasn't a thing of beauty because they both went through droughts and shooting slumps, but at the same time, at the end, just like we saw with Wake and Duke, possession to possession, intensity, things of that nature.
Noles have been the walking wounded. Clemson going through their bad skid too, but Wes, Tigers are up 4 with a minute to go.
Yep.
Can't close. You heard that movie? You seen that this year a
yep.
little bit? Just
That's
a few
happened.
Times?
Yep.
Within the last month, here's just Clemson. I'm just going to give you a Clemson number here. And since, remember that crazy game? They're up 23 on Boston College.
Right.
That was January the 15th. They ended up losing that game by 2. They've lost to BC by 2. They've lost at Duke by 2. They lost to Georgia Tech by 5. They lost to North Carolina last week by 2. And they lose last night by 1. Now, you want to know the difference between being hey, we're not going to the NIT, or hey, we're in the NCAA hunt. That's the difference. You got to win close games.
Yeah.
And Clemson, quite frankly, has been atrocious this year in close games.
It's
1-7 in games decided by 5 points
or less.
How
about that?
Now, that's the line. You talking about how thin's the line between being discussed as an NCAA tournament team or sitting on the couch in the postseason? That's the answer to your question.
Yeah.
It's that simple.
And last night, Florida State wins their 5th one-point game
right.
in the ACC.
Right.
I mean, we talked about this league this year in a lot of different ways, as in like never before or in our lifetime or I don't remember a time. Well, here's the thing. We've gotten it to a point, and you brought this up a couple months ago, where we've created these stacks of teams. And when you get those stacks of teams together – You got a chance to walk yourself into a 5 or less game. That's why I've been keeping track of 5 or less all year. We've walked ourselves into last night the 41st and 42nd games of 5 or less. In AC, we played 110 Atlantic Coast Conference games, and 42 of them have been 5 or less.
Here is the difference between being tied for first in your conference and basically a cellar dweller. Notre Dame is 7-1. In games determined by 5 points or less. Clemson is 1-7.
That's it.
It is simply that easy to figure out about where did our season go wrong. I mean, you got to win close games. You have to be able to close.
Right.
And I can't tell you how many times we've talked about Brad Brunell's team this year. Double-digit lead, zoom, gone.
And
how about up 4 with a minute to go? You got to win that game if you're Clemson. And for Florida State, hey, you're sick and tired of losing. I know you got injuries galore, but you still have that championship DNA that we're not going to quit. Mm-hmm. We're going to figure out a way to win. And how good has Raekwon been, right? He has been unbelievable in giant moments.
Yeah, and he's been, I mean, the big shots, of course, obviously hit the free throws earlier in the year to get Miami. He's hit big shots down the stretch against Duke. And then last night, you knew he was going to get the ball, and he delivers again in an and-one that fouls Nick Honor out of the ball game. The idea here for Florida State is, okay, you're 7-8. You're at Duke Saturday, at BC, at Virginia. You now go on the road for three. So it may have been like a 1.5 last night for you to get Clemson, with Notre Dame and NC State being your final two home games.
Now, they're still, for me, they're still a Brooklyn team.
You Florida State, no question.
You can't go 3 weeks in January and February and not win a game. We're in good shape. No, you're not.
No, they're not.
And they're just not healthy. I mean, if they were healthy, completely healthy, Malik Osborne's there, and you got that leadership. You can't discount Leonard Hamilton, Florida State basketball, for what they have built. But this team this year, right now, is a skeleton.
Oh, no question. Skeleton. In fact, they're not getting anybody but Mills back. I mean, the other guys are done for the year.
It's a tough hand.
Is a tough hand. And last night, you have to have guys step up and step in. Linder comes in and hits a three last night off the end of the bench. Harrison Prieto plays 10 minutes again last night. So the idea of where Florida State is, that was critical for them to get the win. For Clemson, you know, you're 4-11 and you're at Louisville on Saturday, then Wake at home, and then you have road trip to BC before Georgia Tech, Virginia Tech close the season at Little John.
One word, Brooklyn.
Brooklyn. And they're on that list with Georgia Tech and NC State.
Both of them.
And let us pivot to that one, shall we? Because Terquavion Smith showed up last night. He was there when the ball game started. My guess is he was the first player on the floor for warmups last night after NC State got in the building. And guess what? To quote the great Nuke LaLoosh, he announced his presence with authority.
Well, this game was over in 3 minutes, if that. I mean, this thing was – I mean, Georgia Tech basically did an NC State impersonation. How many times have we seen an NC State game at home where the Wolfpack is like, hey, hello?
Notre Dame, Virginia Tech.
Is this thing on? Is anybody home? We get the memo, tip-offs tonight at 8. Mm-hmm. NC State jumped them and just said, hey, catch you later. Got you down 30. They had Georgia Tech down 30 in this game.
Yeah.
And I thought Smith, who had like 18.5, I thought he was going to go for 35 or 40. I really did.
We said yesterday that somebody could explode in that ball game last night. Yeah. And the way Baby T started, you thought he had a 40 burger in him.
Well, they were up by so many points, it was just kind of like, okay, hey, let's get dudes in. Let's get this thing out. And Georgia Tech, to their credit, cut it to, I think, 14 was the closest they got to. But that thing was over in about 2 or 3 minutes last night in Atlanta.
Wolfpack has Boston College, Carolina, at Wake, and at FSU to finish.
Brooklyn.
Yeah.
I mean, you keep rattling off all the schedule.
I'm just giving you the remaining schedule. I know where they stand in terms of their postseason.
It doesn't matter.
Right.
Brooklyn is when you got to go win games. All those 5 or 6 you're at, you can win them all. Doesn't matter. You got to win them in Brooklyn.
Wolfpack shot 52%, 59% from the floor, 8 of 14 in the first half. It's a good way to start.
Well, it was 51-25 or 51-27?
I got news for you, too. Let me tell you. You mean the one thing? You know, the hardest part last night was choosing which ice cream place you were going to. When you had to choose what ice cream, because I'm going to tell you, there were dozens on the way to the airport from where they were.
Well, Kevin Keats could figure out 2 or 3 locations by halftime, because there was just no way they were going to lose a 25-point lead.
Check with the ops guy.
Didn't matter. We could have gotten a halftime scoop and a post-game scoop the way they dominated. For Georgia Tech now, I mean, let's be honest. That was an ugly effort.
Oh, yeah.
That was not good. Is what that was.
Jackets are at Pittsburgh on Saturday, and then at Syracuse, and then finished with 2 of their last 4 on the road.
Brooklyn.
Yeah, correct.
I'm going to say that every time you start rattling off schedules on the right-hand
side.
That's
fine. Brooklyn. No problem. Can I update the ladies' scoreboard for
we had a couple games.
Yeah, we did. Had three of them last night. Florida State, been playing well. Morgan Jones, 21 points.
Steadily improving.
Got there last night. They're now level par in the ACC at 7-7, 73-67 the final. Winner at Syracuse for Coach Sue. Miami beat Virginia, 71-55. Kelsey Marshall, 15 points, 7 rebounds last night. They are also 7-7.
And the other group there, 0-14 for the Hoos. 0-14. Who wins one first, the Virginia women or the Georgetown men in their conference this year? Just asking.
Whoa. BC a winner, 69-57 at home against Pitt last night. They are also 7-7.
Right.
I'm getting the sense in the women's that 7-7 is kind of the tipping point. 26 last night for Taylor Soule.
Yeah, we got six ranked teams for the women in the top 25, and then the three winners last night are sitting there right in the heart of the standings at 7-up and 7-down.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Chester chilling. Cheers. On the Commissioner Phillips blanket,
look
Roger
here, man.
Goodell chair.
Come here, man.
But
come here.
Brother Fuller's got a
come
ball,
here.
Man. He's ready to play.
Come here. Now watch this, kids. Everybody thinks, you know, two guys, basement, live dogs, right? There you go.
Fuller's active today.
All
man.
The fun you want right normally here in the basement.
Normally Fuller's sound asleep, but he found that ball under that chair. He is good to go.
So there we go. Three games tonight on the ACC slate. Some would say kind of important games, but really important to kind of keep your momentum games. Like if you're Miami tonight going to Louisville, Louisville's lost 9 of 10 going up against the top three team in the league. So you got to think BPI's what? 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 What in the world? BPI favors Louisville tonight? 54.4%? I think they're doing this now just to see how you react, Mark Packer.
I don't have to say anything. Everybody watching it knows that's stupid. Louisville fans are watching it going, huh? What? What?
Come on. Five of Miami's last seven been decided by 10 or less.
You know, guess what?
Canes have gone 3-2 in those five.
I mean, eventually Louisville's going to win a game, I think. I mean, the thing I liked about what I saw with Louisville at Notre Dame is I saw a team decide to go enough. Let's go play.
They did.
And they got after Notre Dame in the second half.
They
I mean,
did.
They really mm-hmm. – I mean, I loved watching it because you can just tell the frustration of the season with how this thing is unraveled. But those kids, man, they were balling. Now, they didn't win the game. Give Notre Dame credit how they came back. But if I get that tonight from Louisville, that, hey, you know, enough's enough. Let's go win a game. This will be a fist fight. This will be a tough game. But Miami's guards are so good, Wes. They just don't turn the ball over. Mm-hmm. Every possession's important. They've been great on the road. They know what's at stake. They got the big win at Wake Forest. Now you go to Louisville. You try to validate that. Jim Larranega never won a game in Winston-Salem. He did. He's never won at Louisville. He'll try to pull that off tonight. This BPI number is almost laughable. But if Louisville gives – if, biggest word in sports, if – Louisville gives me that second half effort against Notre Dame for 40 minutes tonight. Can they win the game? They can.
Yeah.
They can. But I got to get that from Louisville tonight. I got to get that dog mentality of, hey, enough, man. We're sick of losing. Let's go.
Three of the last five for the Canes on the road, by the way. Three of the last five.
They got a lot to play for, boys.
They certainly do. And, you know, here's a look there.
How big is that game Saturday? And again, every game's big now for Miami as far as bracketology, double bye, in the hunt for the championship. All of that's at play, right? But just, you know, you look at that schedule, you can't look down the road and say, man, that game Virginia on Saturday is humongous. You got to win tonight.
But
you got to win tonight.
To your point a couple segments ago, this is why Wake Miami last Saturday was the Packer game of the week.
It was, exactly right.
Because it was going to set the table for the winner and double down on the loser.
Exactly right.
Just because of what the other team, no matter who won, who lost that ball game, the sequencing, and I know you don't want to hear this, the sequencing of the schedules was going to make the winner just continue on one path and the loser on the other because both were dealing with kind of the same aftermath.
Yeah, the loser had even more pressure in the next game.
Correct.
The way it worked.
Yep.
And that's why I was down 13. Miami showed so much gum. I mean, they've done this all year. We mentioned this on our best and worst of the weekend. Four times they've been behind by 13 or more this year and went, no big deal. Let's go play.
Right.
Let's win. And they have. And that, to me, is a sign of, number one, great coaching, guys buying in, people stepping up, and great guards. They've got three tremendous guys in the backcourt. Yeah. Really tough.
BC and Louisville. I'm sorry, Miami and Louisville. BC is at Notre Dame tonight.
Looking for the sweep.
How about this? They won that game 73-57.
They being BC.
BC, the Friday night before the ACC football championship game. That's how long ago that game was played.
Well, it still counts.
It does count.
You think Notre Dame would like to have that one back?
Yeah. Well, of course they would. As we've heard from more than one Notre Dame player, the 8 days between the loss at BC and the game against Kentucky potentially changed their year.
Yep, I agree with that.
And now, all of a sudden, here are the Eagles coming to the old Purcell Pavilion for a 7 o'clock start. Irish have won 8 of 9. Need a win to stay pace with the Blue Devils.
Yeah, the guy, when you look at the standings tonight, there's three teams that should be favored, even though BPI disagrees on that Louisville game. But Miami, critical. Notre Dame, critical. And North Carolina, critical.
Sure.
To continue the momentum where they've dominated at home. Those three teams are taking on three Brooklyn teams, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes any sense.
Sure.
For folks who've been watching the show with any regularity. This race for the double bye in the ACC is going to be tremendous. And this week, like I said on Monday, is the most important week from a schedule standpoint.
Yeah. You see, Notre Dame's held their last seven opponents in the ACC to 65 or less. Be interesting for the Irish tonight. Boston College has lost 5 of 6 overall. They haven't won away from home since they beat Clemson in Packers' noted game a moment ago back on January the 15th.
Yeah. And Galloway, by the way, the guy that made the shot.
I knew this was going to come up at some point.
The guy that made the threes. The
last three of the game.
Yeah, which was they were down, 23, and they won that game. Since that night, he is 3 of 41 from beyond the arc.
Since the game.
Yeah, since making the three to put the dagger in the Tigers. And since that game, Clemson's done this, and Galloway can't make a shot. Go figure.
Yeah. Crazy. Let me quickly show you kind of where things are for Notre Dame after tonight. You see BC. There it is, staring right at you on set. Pack's got a problem this weekend. The Packer game of the week is game of the weekend.
Got
to make some tough decisions.
Critical games Saturday.
You see, at Florida State in March, along with a home game against Pittsburgh.
But that is a very doable schedule, boys and girls. Yeah. Look at that thing now. Seriously, if you're a Notre Dame fan,
I feel
good.
Yeah,
you may be a half game behind Duke, but you're looking at, hey, you know what, BC, I like my chances.
Yeah, I feel good.
Wake's a fist fight. Syracuse at home, like my chances. Georgia Tech at home, really like my chances. At Wounded Florida State, like my chances. And Pitt at home. I mean, I think if you're a Notre Dame fan, you look at that schedule and say, is it crazy to believe that we can win all six of those?
There you go.
I don't think it is.
So the Irish, 18-7, 11-3 with BC tonight in South Bend. On to Chapel Hill, where tonight at 8 o'clock here on ACC Network, Pittsburgh and Carolina play in their only regular season meeting. Panthers have won 2 of the last 3, including the last one played at Smith Center. Now, Carolina is 13-1 at home. They've lost twice in the last 2 years in that building. And they're just coming off a demo of Florida State on Saturday. 94% chance to win, according to BPI. But for Carolina, it's all on the table right now. There's not a lot of room for error, Mark. And that includes tonight against Pittsburgh.
Well, they still got that 0-7 quad one thing. Tonight's game is not going to help them. And they cannot look ahead to Saturday against red-hot, dangerous Virginia Tech. And that will be some kind of scene at the castle.
Will.
But if you're North Carolina, man, you just go take care of your business. You're a better team. You're great at home. Just don't have the look-aheads. That's all I'm going to tell you. You can't look ahead. You win tonight, take care of your business. You get to 11-4 in the league. You start thinking, hey, can we get to the double bye situation? Yeah, you sure can. Can you win the league? Well, you'll have to go crazy down the stretch and get some help. But for North Carolina, that quad one conversation to me becomes priority 1A. Priority one is winning tonight.
Yeah, no doubt. So Pittsburgh comes in, John Hughley, big ball game the other day. Be interesting. Hughley and Baycott will be interesting.
Yeah, that'd be a great matchup. And, and Pitt's playing with confidence and good for them. You know, they won at Florida State. They won over the weekend. You had the game. You know, Jeff Capel's kind of kept that thing between when that thing looked like it could get really out of control.
Mm-hmm.
They've done enough to keep your hopes up that, hey, you know, there's some pieces there that you do like.
Yeah.
The Pitts team. I just think tonight North Carolina's got too much talent.
Panthers, by the way, trying to win a third straight conference game. They'd won three straight conference games last year during the COVID season, if you will. The last time they won more than three straight conference games, three or more in a regular conference rotation, was their first year in the league.
Well, and winning on the road has been a problem. They did do that at Florida State and snapped the streak. They'd gone over a year,
yep,
literally a calendar year, winning a road game in the league, and they did that at Florida State. But again, I think doing it against a healthy North Carolina team is a different task.
Yep, agree with you on that. So that's a quick look at the three ball games on the slate tonight and the three played last night in the ACC that get us kind of this point here where we're coming up on, let's see, last night would have been 3 weeks away from the start of the ACC tournament, Tuesday. Yeah, so there you go. Coming at you fast now.
I'm ready. I've been waiting on it. I'm ready to get to Brooklyn.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Tell you what, we've got the St. Pete Clearwater Elite Invitational presented by Wilson. Softball on ACC Network this Saturday. Terrific event. Teams from across the country, a lot of highly ranked teams. And our 1 o'clock start on Saturday has that for you with number 13, Michigan, and number 6, Florida State. Tiffany Green, Madison Shipman will be there for our coverage right here on ACC Network and streaming live on the ESPN app. Softball underway, opened last weekend across the country.
I like it.
Yep.
It's that time of the year.
Off to Chapel Hill we go. It never stinks to talk to national champions, does it?
That's what we do on this show. We talk to Natty winners.
Please welcome to the program, debut, sophomore, San Antonio, Texas. Fiona Crawley joins us this morning from Chapel Hill. Fiona, good morning. Welcome to Packer and Durham.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, no question. All right. Now, I have one logistic question. North Carolina, we talked to Bubba Cunningham yesterday on the show. North Carolina captured the ITA National Team Indoor Championships. Now, and I remarked to Packer, they play this in Madison, Wisconsin. And his retort was, of course they do, because they're indoors. Mm-hmm. Just out of curiosity, how cold was Madison, Wisconsin last weekend?
It was pretty cold, I'm not going to lie. The 9 a.m. start times were pretty brutal, but luckily we just had to make it from our hotel to the van and then the van to inside the tennis center. But it was zero. It was 0 or 3 degrees some mornings, my computer said, when I was up doing school before. I was like, oh, I'm happy I'm inside right now.
Yeah, well, the North Pole was being used. They decided to put you folks in Madison. That's how that works for that indoor tennis thing. But hey, you know, winning national championships is kind of getting old, isn't it? I mean, it just, you show up and hey, back to back. How does that feel? I mean, that's got to be pretty cool, though.
It feels amazing. You don't get used to that feeling. You really don't. It surprises me every single year that my team, our fight, the coaches, the support. It's a feeling that doesn't get old for sure. That's why we love doing it.
Right. But this one was a little different though, wasn't it? I mean, you had to grind through this one. This was at times it didn't look good in the championship, but you know what? Championship teams find ways to win.
Yeah. We all had to clap our hands to Oklahoma. It was their first time at a national indoor championship, and they came out to perform, and they definitely pushed us, and we had to bring our best. But that's something that my team is really good at doing.
Fiona, in this way, I mean, you go up there, and in consecutive days, you go 4-1, 4-1, 4-1 against Ohio State, Virginia, and NC State, by the way, which are all highly regarded programs, and then you win 4-2 against Oklahoma. And I understand there's a fall portion of the season, a winter part of the season, and then obviously you get into spring. What do you learn when you go consecutive days against nationally ranked and highly thought of teams like you see in this event?
I mean, you learn that you have to go to bed early, recover, drink a lot of water, eat a good meal. Coach always really prioritizes all of us eating together the night before, having team time, making sure that we're properly fueled. Those matches when you're out there for 3-4 hours on court, just beating your body down. It's really about recovery and preparation towards the last days. And I feel like fall season, honestly, really prepares you for that, because we were playing 2 or 3 matches in one day instead of just one. So those teams are amazing, and we really had to bring our best and do everything we could.
Elizabeth Scotty is your doubles partner. You are number, you two as a team are the best in the country. All right. I'm not a tennis expert. My wife has kicked me off the tennis court too many times because she says you just don't know how to hit a tennis ball. So, I'm just being honest. Yeah, I'm a golf guy, or used to be. So I always put all this spin on it, and it drives her crazy. She says, I'm done with you. Get lost. Go walk the dogs, do something else. So singles and doubles. Tell me the advantage of both. What do you like better? Of course, when you're number one in doubles, that's got to feel pretty good. But break that down for us, singles versus doubles.
Well, I was not always number one in doubles. I did not play last year, and becoming better at the net has been a struggle of mine for sure. But I follow Scotty, and she really knows what she's doing, and she's confident, and she's a fearless leader, and she's helped me so much grow my doubles game and grow my own confidence at the net. I personally love grinding from the baseline. I'm not really one to always rush the net. Like Carson, one of our amazing freshmen, she's got that chip and charge locked down. But the net has definitely been new for me. I used to be really afraid of it. I have trauma from my childhood because of my older brother and sister pegging me at the net. But I definitely learned, and experience has for sure helped, and just Scotty's positivity. It's really fun to compete on court with her. And as much as I love singles, I feel like I've really grown as a player and a person being able to compete in doubles.
Is there a different mentality with doubles than singles? I mean, there has to be, right? I mean, you're combined, you're locked. I mean, you talk about playing on the baseline or playing at the net. I mean, the whole approach has got to change, right?
100%. I would say the biggest struggle for me, I'm a marathoner. If I lose the first set in singles, I'll just keep going. I'm ready. I'm ready for that third set if I drop the first set. But doubles is a sprint. You got to go out hot, stay hot, and finish hot, which is a different mentality. So we have to go out and just be super aggressive, big serves, big first balls, and sometimes it's scary to cross, and these girls are really strong, really in your face sometimes. But you got to push back. You got to stay strong as well.
I want to go back just because I like to hear stories. So I'm going to give you a chance to give a shout out to your family that gave you all this trauma at the net. I want you to explain that to the listening audience of what was going on there, okay, where family members are causing all this pain and anguish.
Okay, so I have an older brother, Liam, the oldest, and then an older sister as well, Celine, who both played collegiate tennis. And when we were little, being the youngest, I kind of always just followed them. That's how I started tennis. But one of their favorite drills to do was Celine and I would be at the net and Liam would be at the baseline. And if they thought that I was being bratty that day, or if I had done anything that they didn't like, so Len would just pop it up and Liam would just rip it right at me. And that went on until they thought that I had learned my lesson.
Now, wait, I want to, let me back up. You also said that that's how you learned to play tennis. I know that from reading a little bit about you, you learned to play tennis when you lived in Japan between the ages of 6 and 9. So did all this also occur in Japan? I mean, come on now. I mean, this doesn't seem like Liam and Celine are very friendly at all, but I'm hoping the relationship's improved over the years.
No, they're my best friends. They're my best friends. I'm making them out to be worse than they are. They've really taught me pretty much everything I know. We have amazing parents, but yes, we grew up for 3 years in Japan. I was the youngest, so I was still pretty young. This happened when we moved back to Texas. So I was a little bit older. I was just learning how to have fun playing tennis. That's when it was still a hobby and an after school sport. We would go, my sister and I would go from gymnastics to tennis, because we were still kind of doing multiple sports at that time. But But yeah, they definitely taught me how to play. And my brother will still send me pictures of me when I was little. And he'll be like, this is still like 6-year-old me on the tennis court when the tennis racket's almost as big as me. And he's like, this is still what I see when I watch you play.
That's awesome. I love it.
All right, I got two quick questions for you. Given your San Antonio roots, you ever been to the Smoke Shack in San Antonio?
Yes, I have.
All right.
Yes,
now,
I have.
A friend of mine owns it by the name of Chris Conger. Back. Yeah. Good. Really good friend. So next time you get back home to San Antonio, walk in there, drop my name to Chris Conger and see what kind of freebies you get out of it. All right. That's for me to you. That's it. Packer Durham NIL deal to you, Fiona. All right. I'm just giving that up front. All right.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Cold pork grilled cheese on you next time.
You got it.
Wow.
You got it. I like the way you're thinking. Now, here's our final question. And since you're making your debut, we do this for every student athlete. You've been at the University of North Carolina, Fiona, what has been your hardest class?
Oh, no. I don't want to call any professors out.
Well, you know, they may call you out.
They may have called you out, so go right ahead.
Okay. If I'm being completely honest, and this is one of the classes that these classes are supposed to kind of introduce you to college and be easier, and so maybe I went in with the wrong mindset, I would have to say my freshman seminar. It's supposed to be a class that you take that's really outside of your comfort zone, something that you just are not familiar with, not aligned with your major. And so I chose, and you pick a list of your top 10, and then you kind of just get put in one based on the openings. And I chose ancient magic and religion. And the readings for that class were so difficult. They were pretty much in ancient Greek, like hieroglyphics. And it was really different, out of my box. I learned a lot, but I had to do some weird things and projects, which was fun, but tough.
Ancient magic and religion.
Yeah, the beginning of that was really good for me.
The magic part?
The magic
part.
Yeah,
you
well,
like
the religion
magic.
Part too.
Religion, I mean, we're all there, but yeah, that's definitely out of the box, right?
Too real for me. It was too, I know that it's supposed to be magical and sound, but it was tough.
All I know is you got hardware. That's all I know. That and free brisket next time you're at the Smoke Shack. There you go.
Fiona, we wish you all the luck. Carolina back in action a week from Friday at Notre Dame. Take care. Great to have you with us.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
You bet. Good luck the rest of the way. ITA Indoor National Champion, Fiona Crawley.
Now, Fiona, before the interview started, folks don't know this. She goes, God, I'm really nervous. I'm like, please. It's going to be the easiest thing you do all day, talking to a bunch of old guys in the basement with dogs.
The
Packer and Durham Podcast.